Good evening. I appreciate you, your attendance and your interest in spiritual things. Tonight we are going to look at kind of a word study. I was thinking about peace. I want to take a look at peace and what the Bible says about peace. In the Old Testament, shalom is one of the words that is used for peace. It is a Hebrew word meaning peace. It can mean completeness, soundness, the well-being of the whole person. It can be contentment, prosperity, and an absence of war. This peace was considered to be given by God in the Old Testament and obtained by following the law. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 119. We'll see in Psalm 119, look in verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Peace can sometimes have a physical meaning, suggesting security. Like in Psalm, turn over to Psalm 4. Psalm 4 and verse 8. It says, I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I mentioned earlier the absence of war. A good verse to look at that is in 1 Samuel. Turn over to 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel 7, verse 14. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath. And Israel delivered their territories from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. So along the lines of peace, we need to think about how peace can happen in the world that we live in. We must be careful not to let the cares of the world take away our sense of peace. And we could see this in Luke 21, verse 34. Luke 21, verse 4, it says, But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly. The cares in this life manifest themselves in different ways, like sickness and health problems and financial stresses and, you know, being unappreciated. Some of our government decisions, fear of failure, uncertainty, doubt. Now, is it wrong to be concerned about these things? No. But we should be careful not to let these things consume us. Let's take a look over in Esther. In Esther in chapter 3. I won't be reading there, but I will be telling you a little bit about the story that's happening there in Esther. We read about a man named Haman. And he sent out a decree throughout the kingdom. The decree would essentially wipe out every Jew in that kingdom, including Mordecai. And Mordecai would not, because of his strong moral character, his belief and adherence to the commandments of God, he would not bow down to Haman. And in chapter 4 of Esther, we read that Mordecai, he's mourning and he's crying out, and we see other Jews in the kingdom doing the same thing. They're fasting and weeping and lamenting while wearing sackcloths. And in chapter 5, we see Haman coming out and he sees Mordecai. And he's in a sackcloth. And Mordecai did not rise or tremble at the sight of Haman. Mordecai did not give into the fear by bowing down before Haman. Even after knowing what was in store for him and the Jewish people, instead we see him falling before the Lord. In the New Testament, peace often refers to like inner tranquility and poise of the Christian whose trust is in God through Christ. We can see in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, we have the prophecy that's talking about to Christ that is to come. And it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." But we see in Luke 12, verse 1. You can turn over Luke 12, verse 1. We'll read that here in a second. Or not 12, verse 51. Excuse me. In Luke 12, verse 51, Jesus tells us that he did not come here to give peace. Verse 51. "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." We see in that example, Jesus came to earth to do the will of his Father. And one of the effects of proclaiming the will of God to the people is strife and persecution. The gospel may be taught to one another, but because of the truth is resisted, it will cause strife in the family. So if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he did not come to bring peace on earth, how do we reconcile these two different ideas? Romans 5, verse 1, I believe, tells us the answer to that. Romans 5, verse 1, let's read that. Verse 1, "Therefore, since we have justified through faith, we have no peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So there, in verse 1, we see we need to be at peace with God. Verse 2, "Through him, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God." Grace and hope comes through peace with God. Let's go to verse 3. "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance." So there we see peace with God does not mean peace with the world. That is our answer. Perseverance, character, hope, verse 5, "and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." Verse 6, "You see, at just the right time, when we still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this is this so, but we must also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now receive reconciliation." So we see that Christ died for us so that we may have peace with God. In order to do God's will and have peace, we must know what God's will is. And my thought there was, I was thinking about Saul in Acts 9. A man named Saul who was a persistent persecutor of the church. He put forth every effort to stop its progress. He thought that what he was doing was the will of God. In Acts 8, verse 1, we can see where Paul is persecuting the church. And there arose in that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. But in the next chapter, in verse 9, in Acts chapter 9, in verse 4, we see Jesus asking, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And the Lord sends Ananias in Acts 9, verse 17. Acts 9, verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me to you that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell off of his eyes, and he regained his sight. And then he arose and was baptized. In verse 18, we read that Paul was now knowing the will of God, being baptized for the remission of sins. So tonight I ask you, are you at peace with God? Let's examine what Peter has to say about this in Acts 10 and verse 34. Acts 10, verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right and is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." So what is right and acceptable to God? Let's look at Peter's sermon at Pentecost in Acts 2. Acts 2, down to verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. For the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." So go ahead and get out your supplements and turn to 56. And if you're ready to have peace with God, now's the time. Don't wait till the last verse. Do it on the first verse. Come down here. We're ready to accept you. If there's anything we can do for you, please come forward as we stand and sing.